It's always a party when we have the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with us every single Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Brian, how are you this Thursday, October the 8th?
Doing well, Wade. Good to hear from you, buddy.
It is good. It is good to talk with you as well. Let's jump into it here. Jayhawks losing on homecoming there against Oklahoma State, 47-7. Certainly a one-sided affair. Let's begin where we can almost always begin, and that is where we talked last week about the young kid, Daniels, a freshman at quarterback. Unfortunately, he gets banged up, and where does that put the quarterback situation now for KU with the off week this weekend and getting ready for West Virginia next weekend?
Well, it appears to be a little bit worse than what we initially thought, and Coach has not given a lot of specifics, but last night, keeping it very close to the vest on Hawk Talk, said that he's going to be out a little bit. And, you know, it's not my job to force his hand with sharp follow-ups as if I'm the beat writer or an investigative reporter. We kind of have to, you know, protect the coach's narrative, and if he wants to be coy about it and keep the opponent guessing, we do that. And so I said, okay, well, does that mean that, you know, we should expect Kendrick to be the quarterback, you know, for the West Virginia game, and what about Thomas McVitie's availability? And he made it seem like Kendrick is right now QB1, and McVitie is improving with his shoulder injury and hopeful to be in the mix. He said he's pushing the envelope every day trying to get back out there. But it kind of sounds like, even though we're, you know, 9 days out at this point, they're going to be without Jalen Daniels for the West Virginia game. And so whatever that lower leg, foot, ankle injury that had him in a walking boot is, it sounds like it's a little more severe than just a sprained ankle or something like that that you could come back from in a couple of weeks. And so not going to speculate as to the specifics of it, but you know, Coach's latest words indicated that it sounds like we won't have him. But I did ask, will he be back at some point this season? He said, oh, absolutely, and we're so excited to get him back. But in terms of 2 to 3 week window or something like that, I mean, we really have no idea. And as I'm sure we're about to talk about, you know, this was a product of him being under duress throughout his brief day out there on the field, and you know, KU's inability to have much protection up front against a really daunting Oklahoma State front four, I think is a big reason why we saw Kansas go three and out so often, 1 of 14 on third down, and ultimately, you know, have to change out quarterbacks because you had both your starting quarterback and your starting running back leave the game with injuries.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen, Beloit, or call them 738-5701. The numbers certainly one-sided, as you'd expect in a 47-7 game. Oklahoma State with almost 600 yards of total offense. I know that's not the defensive performance that KU wants to see, but in fairness to the defense, at least to a point, is that when the offense is punting the ball every single time and not doing much with the football, that puts a lot of stress on your defense.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, they were without three starters anyway at the end of the day. And, you know, obviously right now whenever a player is a late scratch, you know, you immediately wonder, okay, has there been a positive test? And that's nothing that they can report on due to HIPAA. But, you know, we can say whatever the absence was that led to Gavin Potter and Kyle Mayberry and Ricky Thomas all being out, they are all expected to be back for the West Virginia game. So whatever it was brief. But you mentioned that to say that, you know, kudos to the defense for being as good as they were, because you're down 3 of 11 starters. And we saw guys like Nick Channel out of Wichita and the likes of Davon Ferguson and several others are really stepping up. I thought the job that Kenny Logan and Davon Ferguson did, specifically in the secondary, not that you want those guys to be making all your tackles, but they combined for 23 tackles, had a couple of big plays on the goal line to snuff out touchdown attempts by Oklahoma State and force field goal tries. And so I really felt like, you know, we saw some guys rise to the occasion. Obviously, you lose by 40. Not trying to sugarcoat anything, but in a season that we've said from day one is more about getting reps to other players, younger players like a Kenny Logan type, who I really think could be a star in this league, and he has aspirations of playing beyond college. And we're getting a chance to see these guys shine a little bit, and the hope was that Jalen Daniels would have nine starts of being the guy, and now it looks like this injury is going to keep that from happening, at least with one start, it would appear. But I do think when you see guys step up like Channel and Logan and Ferguson did on Saturday, it's encouraging that the depth is improving on this Kansas team, and we're starting to see some guys really emerge that have been in the system for a couple of years now under Les Miles and are now having opportunity meets, the amount of talent and hard work they put into it. When those two things come together, a lot of times you get great results. And at least from an individual standpoint, I think we saw some flickers of that. Obviously, the sum of the parts, you lose by 40. But I think you're astute in pointing out that the defense looked pretty good in getting Oklahoma State off the field until they had to come right back on it time and time again. And when you have over 90 plays run against you, that's going to wear you down. And so when I look back on those two explosive plays on the deep balls they got beat on, I mean, how much of that is fatigue and the fact that they had to come right back out there on the field? So Kansas needs to do a better job, as we've been saying for a long time, of playing complementary football where the offense does well enough to sustain some drives, move the chains, chew up some clock, give the defense some rest, and flip the field in terms of field position as opposed to three and out, more punting, three and out, more punting. And I think we'll see that. But, I mean, to call it like it is, this was one of the best defensive fronts they'll face all season. I know Coach Dierman feels like the Ford kid up front, left defensive end for Oklahoma State, might be the best edge rusher in the conference and could be Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. And to call it like it is, we were just a little bit overmatched. D-line versus O-line, OSU versus Kansas. And that puts you in a world of hurt because not only is your quarterback, who already is so young and green, constantly under duress, but you're continually operating behind schedule. Instead of, second and six or second and seven, it's second and nine or ten, and it's third and six or seven instead of third and two or three. And that's the biggest reason why we saw Kansas go 1 of 14 on third downs. And it sounds really elementary and somewhat cliche to say that the easiest method of fixing third down issues is to be better on first and second downs. But in this case, it's really true. And the Jayhawks, hopefully against pass rushes that won't be as dominant as what we saw from Oklahoma State, will fare better. But they got to get better up front, KU does, because, again, in a shortened season where you don't have time to grow up over the course of non-conference play and really come together, they got to fix these things in a hurry. And hopefully the extra practices this week and the open date will do just that.
Of course, coaches want to win football games. Fans want their teams to win football games. And this, in essence, is kind of a free year. We've heard Coach Miles talk a little about, and you've talked about on the show, Coach Kleiman at K-State's talked about it as well, that both Coach Miles and Coach Kleiman are in – comfortable positions from the standpoint that they have great working relationships with the athletic directors. And so it's not like, even if some fans say, hey, fire this coach or whatever, Les Miles gonna be fine. He's able to steer the course the way he wants to and build this program the way he needs to, because it was a tough situation that he inherited, and he knew that when he took the job. Having said that, if KU goes 0-10, 1-9, 2-8, to me it's all about development, as you and I discussed last week. But what about from the recruiting angle? And I'm not asking about specific recruits, because I know you can't comment about that. But from a recruiting standpoint, when you got kids out there that have either verbally committed or kids that are considering the University of Kansas play football, and when the team continues to struggle like this, getting blown out of a game this week or a blowout the next week, and it's a one-sided affair, I would think certainly Coach Miles obviously wants to win games, understands the developmental process, but not winning games, doesn't that have some kind of effect on kids that might be interested in coming to Kansas to play football?
It can, and without getting into specifics, it's certainly a concern. But in talking with Coach Miles last night on Hawk Talk, he remains very optimistic about, the 20-plus commitments they already have verbally for this class, and the fact that, you sign now in mid-December as opposed to February means you only have to, hold down the fort a little bit, longer here, a couple of more months. But clearly you want to be able to show them something in terms of tangible progress on the field. And last year they were able to point to not only the wins over Boston College and Texas Tech, but a near upset at Texas. And those are the types of competitive performances that I think K Kansas needs to find a way to generate, you know, to remind them that we may not be in the win column where we're going to be yet, but we're absolutely competing in these games, and perhaps you, son, are the difference maker that's going to get us over the edge and get us into the winner's circle more often. And that's a big key. But obviously, I'm not oblivious to, you know, maybe what you're hinting at, and hopefully for Kansas, you know, we'll see that on the field progress. I do know this, and I listened to Coach talk last night. You know, he loves the recruiters he has on this staff, the charisma, the closers, all that, and they're going to have their work cut out for them, no doubt, because A, they've landed verbal commitments from some really talented guys that other schools are going to now want to come in and pilfer away. But B, you know, it has been a frustrating start to the season, and you know, kids aren't oblivious to that, and so I think that we'll just find out how great those people skills are of some of our lead recruiters in keeping the commitment solid. And I for one think that in most cases they should be fine, because they've recruited the type of kid that realizes big picture the undertaking that they're in the midst of, and knows that, you know, this is not a Rome built overnight situation. So hopefully they'll honor that and want to be a part of the rebuild that continues next year. But it's definitely an important question and a timely one, and hopefully their jobs as recruiters and coaches will be easier as the weeks go on, because the product on the field will get better and better.
How are things going for Kansas in regards to the COVID-19 and all the testing? We certainly have seen now in the NFL a few teams that have been, they've been stressed out about it, as you can imagine. The Chiefs dodging a scare here recently. What about the University of Kansas, how it's going for the football team?
You know, Coach didn't update any specific numbers last night on Hawk Talk, and like I said, it's different from the NFL, where as soon as Cam Newton or Stephon Gilmore or any of the 20-some Tennessee Titans get a positive test, you're hearing about it. With HIPAA, they protect these student-athletes, you know, health situations, whether it's something COVID-related or a bad ankle or anything. You know, you're not really permitted to talk about it unless, you know, the player's comfortable, and it's a pretty obvious injury that you can see physically on the field, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, and even then, the severity of which is protected in most cases, which is why terms like "he's got a nick" have become very popular, when we all know it, a nick is probably more than a nick.
Right.
But because of that, you know, you're not going to hear the specifics, but I think a lot of, you know, media types will connect the dots on who the late scratches were, and you know, it's probably not just a nose sniffle that has somebody out in those instances. But it's not my job, nor can I do it without getting in trouble, to sit up here and speculate who's had it, who hasn't. But as we've said every week, look around the Big 12, and there's a handful of absences that, you know, were guys that were seemingly healthy leaving the game the previous week, and unless they really rolled an ankle good on Wednesday or something, there's a chance it might be related to that. So, again, that's for fans and I guess sports writers to wonder about, not you or I, but it certainly has an effect. And I think where we opened our conversation today in talking about other guys stepping up when certain players haven't been available, that's one encouraging sign, because if you didn't have a story like Nick Channel when certain guys are out, then you'd really be worried about the depth. You'd be worried about the competitive spirit of some of these guys, and as Coach said last night, college football, more so than any sport, is a next man up type situation, because injuries happen so frequently, and you really do have to be, I mean, you're only as good as the guy backing you up, right? Only as strong as the next link on the chain, and we saw some strong links, I thought, last week, whether they were filling in for COVID-infected players or just players that had other illnesses, injuries, etc., we saw some guys step up, but I think that has got to be the encouraging story, if anything.
All right, Brian, time for the off-the-wall question. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Boyd, or call them 738-5701. I don't know if you saw any of the vice presidential debate last night. I can just tell you that was a lot more cordial than the presidential debate that we had recently. So here's your question, Brian Haney. If you ever run for president of the United States of America, who would be your celebrity running mate? Who would be the perfect running mate for Brian Haney? The Haney blank ticket. How would it go, man?
Man, I don't think that I always hate to be redundant and talk about something we just discussed last week when you asked about naming Patrick Mahomes unborn baby, but I figured, could you have a better running mate than Mahomes?
I knew that's what you were going to go with. I had a really strong feeling you would go with Mahomes, which would be my choice too. Who's more popular than Patrick Mahomes?
Right? I mean, he truly is the best at what he does. He's young, he's good-looking, he's charismatic, he's well-spoken. He could fund our entire campaign,
yes,
no problem.
Yes.
We have to raise campaign dollars. Yes. And he's also got the popular vote, not just in Chiefs Kingdom, but I really think across the country, because how can you not like this guy? I mean, he's just everything you'd want an athlete ambassador to be, both on and off the field. So, clean record. Super talented, and I think the fact that we know each other and we go back a ways, there's some trust there.
Yeah,
enough to where if I was on a live debate and I had a fly on my head, he would text me to swat it off. So we have that kind of rapport, I think.
Patrick would grab a football and he would knock that fly off without the ball touching your hair. That's how good he is. And by the way, you would do well with the popular vote, but you would not probably do well in Denver, and you would not do well in Foxborough. I think those two, I feel very confident, are already tired of hearing anything about Patrick Mahomes, which I say, good. You had Brady. You had Elway. We had to deal with that for years. How does it feel to be on the other side of the fence on this baby? I like it.
Yep. I think we can win the Electoral College without Colorado and Massachusetts.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about going to Denver or Foxborough to campaign. I think you'd be good. All I want to say is that if you and Patrick are running together on the ticket, I will be I'll be happy to handle and be the treasurer. I'll be happy to count Mahomes' money and yours too. It'll take me longer to count Mahomes, of course. I'll be happy to help out in any which way I can, all right, to figure out how you guys are going to spend that campaign money.
Exactly. That sounds good, my man. Always fun, buddy.
All right, man. Well, enjoy your weekend. I don't know if you're going to get it off per se, but you don't have to call a game. So enjoy that, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Sounds good, pal. You have a great weekend, too.
You too. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. As always, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. Brian's with us every single Thursday to talk Jayhawk Athletics.